So we represent their best interests, legal best interests, while the case is before the Rhode Island Family Court. We represent roughly 2,700 children, and we have over 200 dedicated volunteers who supplement our paid staff and help out in giving the children a voice before the court.
Could you give some of the more common reasons? Like, why would a family or child appear in the court?
There's basically, you need to break it down probably into three reasons why a family would come before the court. The first one would be that the family went to the Department of Children, Youth, and Families seeking help for their child. And mostly those children are between the ages of 12 and 18 years of age, and the parents are having a tough time controlling their behaviors at home. The other would be neglect. And neglect stems from a parent with a substance abuse, mothers unfortunately using prescription drugs, heroin. And unfortunately we see some cases of medical neglect where the parents do not follow through with children who are suffering from diabetes, suffering from mental health problems, or just do not follow through with the medical conditions that their children have. We have hoarder cases, children who live in squalor, educational neglect, not sending your child to school, and then the worst petitions are those that lie in child abuse, either sexual or physical.
Lots of kids, a higher number than in other states, are in group homes in Rhode Island in congregate care because there aren't other services available for them. Why do you think that's happening from your perspective, and what are some of the other barriers to getting families reunified?
If I had the answer to that question, I'd be able to solve all our problems. However, it's a little bit of everything. The lack of available foster homes for our older youth. What we try to do is find a relative that can take the child in. And I think that what we need to do is we need to provide more services to those family members that step up to be foster parents or to take in their relatives.
And that's not necessarily the fault of the court. That's just caseworkers are overloaded at DCYF.
I think that that is one of the main problems is the sheer volume of cases that the social workers at the Department of Children, Youth, and Families cover. The court tries to stay on top of as many cases as it can and to review these placements as often as it can, but there are just so many hours in a day that you can have cases on your calendar and be effective. It's dealing with people, and it's dealing with their problems. They're not in the family court because everything is going well in their life, except for adoptions. Those are bright spots on the judges' calendars.
Andrew Johnson, so that helps explain why I've been hearing from some people, we have to wait forever for a court date, you know, they're spaced too far apart, and meanwhile, that's a parent and child who are still separated. So is that part of the reason? It's just the sheer volume of work?
That's part of the reason. Other reasons are you don't want to reunify a child until you have all the services in place for the parent to make it work. The worst thing is to return a child and not have made any structural change to the parenting, to the home, or even to the child.
Parents have to jump through several hoops to get their children back. Would you say that all of those steps are always necessary, or are there some things the court asks families, parents to do that deserve a second look, that sort of delay the process?
You have to look at it in two ways. Are you pushing too quickly to get the child back and putting the child at risk? Or are you, as you say, putting too many hurdles in the parent's way and delaying the child to get out? And unfortunately, there's no handbook that you can go to and say, this is the amount of time that it's going to take. What the judges have been doing, they give DCYF the discretion to move a child back into the home quicker. I would agree that keeping a child away from their parents is another type of abuse to that child because they should be able to be reunified as soon as possible. And that's what we're all working towards, is trying to find that perfect mix to get the child home.
But we're still pulling more kids from the home, putting more kids in placement than almost every other state in the nation.
Correct. So we have a problem somewhere. I think that problem is that instead of coming together early on in a case and setting a case plan or a map that we were all going to follow and everybody agreeing to, this is how the case will play out, we don't have that time. And we don't have that sit down in the beginning to say these are all the issues that we think everybody has in this case. And everybody takes a little bit of ownership on everything. I have found very dedicated people at the Department for Children, Youth, and Families in the provider field for these children. I do think that we were a system that had lacked being at the forefront of people's minds for a period of time where the department was able to deteriorate.
Andrew Johnson, what has kept you coming back to this work? What's kept you involved?
The way I see it is I love to see positive outcomes. There's a few days and few hours where I get pretty depressed on what happens to these children. And having represented children for a substantial period of time, it's always gut-wrenching when you see the pain and the anxiety and the fear in that. But I keep coming back because the successes are so worth it. And it's my ability to know that at the end of the day, I was putting my law degree to helping out somebody. If that sounds as corny as it does, I truly feel that way.
Andrew Johnson is head of the court-appointed special advocate's office at the Family Court of Rhode Island in Providence. Thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you.